Okay, so I'm going to go straight into the campus recruitment process. It's a few stages. One of it, the first stage is, you know, researching companies and attending the events. The next stage is your resume, which is also called the CV, and interview present preparation. Then you have your application submission, and then the actual interviews, and then the post-offer and decision-making. In terms of researching companies, when students are in university, big companies go to the schools around September, October, November, trying to attract the best students from that campus. A lot of students take that for granted, but it is an opportunity for you to actually talk to the recruiters who come onto your campus, talk to them about your career choices, what you want to do, and they'll also tell you about their own companies. Unfortunately, I realize that a lot of us, Nigerians, black people, do not take advantage of that opportunity. It is a very fantastic way of meeting people from those companies, finding out what they actually do, and trying to see whether your interest aligns with the interest of those companies. In the last few years, we've realized that a lot more students coming out of university now are very interested in working for companies that have sustainability as part of their key objectives. You know, so all of a sudden, every company now tells you, oh, how many fewer light bulbs they use and how they recycle everything in their offices. But so attending those events is a fantastic opportunity to find out about the company. And that usually takes place between September and November, sometimes early December. You know? So the next step after attending those kind of sessions is to prepare a resume and submit your applications. You know, resume preparation at that stage should not be longer than one page. Your CV should not, because you haven't done that many things in life to be able to ramp up three or four pages of CVs. Typically, recruiters have, on the average, 1 minute to look at a CV. So if it's too long, they're going to dump it in the bin. So it has to be short and precise. Bullet points, your name, your email address, your phone number, and then things that you have done. Few bullet points here and there, because as I said, they don't expect too much work experience from you at that time. If you have work experience, all well and good, but just make it brief and precise. Also on that point, there should be no lies on your CV, because any company that is going to employ you is going to do what we call a background screening. So they're going to find out all the they're going to verify all the information you put on there. And the minute they spot one lie, in fact, it doesn't even need to be a lie, it just needs to be a mistake, they will not take you. We've lost quite a few people to that, where they've, instead of putting the fact that they're going to graduate with a 2-2, they've put it 2-1. And they've just lost fantastic job opportunities like that. So please make sure that all the information you put on the CV is as accurate as possible. Also, please put phone numbers that work. Do not put phone numbers where people cannot reach you on. Very, very important. The other point is email address. Because you're going to be using these email addresses to apply for work, you need to ensure that they are decent. Typically, you would expect people's, you know, first name or surname at whatever operator they're using, whether Hotmail, Gmail, Yahoo. You know, it's not right when you see things like Fineboy Addy at, you know, it just kind of gives the wrong impression, you know. So as much as possible, you want to make it professional. You know, it's funny, but I've seen a lot of things, you know, and it's unbelievable. And you're thinking, this person is actually looking for a job in a professional company. That doesn't seem too professional. So if you have any email addresses like that, yeah, you can use them with your friends. But once you get to the stage where you want to start looking for work, you need to create a new email address that shows some sense of responsibility, right? So that's that on the CV. In terms of the actual applications, most companies will ask you for a CV and a cover letter. In your cover letter, please do not make it longer than one page. As I said, recruiters do not have time. I'll give you a start. 3 years ago, when I helped do some graduate recruitment, we had in total about 150 graduate roles in the company, and we had over 10,000 applications. So there was no way anyone was going to spend longer than 2 minutes. And we take it, we make it a point of duty to actually look at every single CV. So your CV is not dumped. However, if it's too long, it will be dumped. If it's just you rambling on, it will be dumped. So one page is very, very ideal. It's, in fact, it's more than enough. In terms of writing a cover letter, you need to research the company. Make sure that you write, you put in things there that the company will pride itself in. So, you know, if it, for example, if a company is 200 years old, you might say, oh, you know, XYZ company with its, you know, 200 years experience in the financial services field, you know, will be able to provide me with, you know, XYZ. Then the person knows that actually you have done some research, because not every company is 200 years old. You know, so they know that, oh, you've actually gone to our website, you've spoken to people when they were on campus to talk to you about the company. So please tailor the cover letter to the particular company you're applying for. And I know a lot of us do cut and paste, right? So make sure you check everything you've cut and paste, and you make sure that it applies to that company. Because if you put for this company that with over 200 years work experience, and then this other company is just 20 years old, and you've also put with 200 years work experience, then there's a problem. Then the recruiter knows that you have not done adequate research, you are not thorough, because you haven't spotted those mistakes. Or sometimes, just a typical example, oh, someone goes, oh, I would like to work for Ernst & Young because PwC is a fantastic place to work. And then you know that, oh, those are two different companies. So you need to read and read and read, go over the cover. These are very, very easy ways where people just disqualify themselves without even knowing. And unfortunately, because there are 10,000 applications, the company will not call you back to say, oh, the reason why we rejected your application is because you did XYZ thing. So please make sure the cover letter is very, very tailored to that company. The next step, you know, usually once you submit, most companies now require you to do an online test. Do not rush to do the online test. Typically, they give you, some give you up to a week, some give you 2 weeks to do it. There are practice questions that come with those tests. Practice those, use those practice sessions to familiarize yourself with the materials that you will be asked to review during the test, because it's very important. A lot of people get other people to do the test for them, but companies are getting smart as well. So sometimes they ask you to take the test again when you come in for your first interview. So please make sure you do your tests yourself. If you fail, you fail. But at least you and a lot of companies use similar tests. So even when you fail with one company, by the time you get familiar with the material, you can always get through with the next company. Next step, if you're successful with the online test, is the interview. Very, very important. I've interviewed people who have worn tracksuits and trainers to the office. You know, those kind of, I ended up interviewing them, but there was no need to actually interview them because they were not going to get the job. You need to dress appropriately. If you do not have a suit and a tie, please borrow from your neighbor. It is better than actually wearing a tracksuit to an interview. In a profession, if you're going to work for Adidas or Nike, maybe it will be acceptable. But if you want to get a job in the city, it is definitely not acceptable. You need to wear a tie. You need to wear a jacket. You need to wear a suit. So if, as I said, if you do not have, borrow. Do your research once again about the company. As I said, most interviews at the graduate level will not require technical knowledge. They just, most times they just want to find out what kind of person the individual is. Nowadays, we all hamper on about teamwork. So people want you to be able to demonstrate that you've participated in anything relating to a team. So it's always good on your CV if you say, okay, I've played football, I've played netball, I've played handball. Then as a recruiter, I can see that, oh, these are all team sports, and you've had to interact with other people in order to be successful in that team sport. So that's very important. It's also good to have things like when you're in university, you join society. So typically, as a black person, you probably end up joining the Afro-Caribbean Society. But that's not enough. You know, it's just not, I was a member of the Afro-Caribbean Society. What did you do while you were a member? Were you the treasurer? Did you run an event there? Those are the things that recruiters want to see at that age. It's nothing technical at all, because you're just coming straight out of uni. The assumption is you're a smart person, you're an intelligent person, we will mold you into what we want you to be. But first, you need to prove to us that you have the hunger and the drive to want to work for us, right? And all this once all this happens and the interviewers are happy with you. In fact, some companies, not all now, also give you a case study to work on. If you go online, Google, just check random case studies of the kind of questions companies ask. You know, a few years ago, the case study I used to use, for example, was I would put four or five people together and I'll tell them, like, I want to open up an office in a random country, for example, let's say Brazil. I want to open up an office in Brazil, right? Think about the security situation in Brazil, the infrastructure, the local regulations. What would your advice be to me? Should I go ahead and open up that office in Brazil? You know, and some of the things I expected people at that time, because I used to do it like 3-4 years ago. Do people here like football and sports? Okay, so Brazil hosted the World Cup, right? So things I wanted to get from them was that, oh, if Brazil is going to be hosting the World Cup, it means they have to improve their infrastructure, which means they're going to need money. So I, as a bank, at that point, it's probably a good idea for me to get in there, borrow them money for their infrastructure, and also benefit from it. So those are the kind of things I want them to be thinking outside of the box. You know, why would I want to? The security situation in Brazil is not the best, you know. So that's a downside. So at the end of the case study, I want them to all come out to me and present why I should invest in Brazil or why I should not invest in Brazil. At that point as well, I'm also looking at how well they are working together. Did they organize themselves? Did somebody say, oh, I will be the timekeeper? Did somebody say, okay, you lead and then I will wrap up at the end? Or were they all fighting for the microphone in order to present to me? Those are little things that I am looking for as a recruiter. And so please pass these pieces of information on to your kids, to your nephews, your nieces, anyone you think would be beneficial for. Because the more people we have representing our community in the city, the better for us. So we can all help one another to get in there and make the most of our lives. Can you go to the next slide, please? I want to talk about something very important on that slide. It's the process again. The typical timelines. I know some people are very visual. That's why I put this slide together in terms of, so from September to about December, the campus events are holding, and so the companies are at the university, and then they do full-time interviews. By the way, in most companies, interviews happen 9 months before they start. So the interviews taking place about now are for people who are going to join the company in July next year. So people should not wait till they graduate or they're nearing graduation before they start looking for jobs. You start from when you get in. There's going to be a slide I'll show later on that also shows another set of timelines. So these are some of the things I've talked about. So from October to about December, they're doing full-time interviews. Internship interviews take place from about December to about February, March. Internships are usually for people who are in the penultimate year of university. And the internships are fantastic because they usually last between 8 and 12 weeks long. If you get into an internship, you're one step away from getting a full-time job. Because if you get an internship in your penultimate year, if you do well in that interview, during the internship, you will get a full-time offer without having to do another set of interviews. So about 60 or 70% of the places that go for full-time are already taken up by those who do an internship. So those who do not do an internship are fighting for just 30% of the slots left. There was a year in my company where about 90% of the slots were taken on by interns. So it is very important to do an internship. The internship also provides you an opportunity to test the company. You know, so the company is putting you through an 8-week process. You are also putting them through an 8-week process to see whether you actually want to end up working for them. At the end of the day, they might give you an offer and you're going to say, nope, I don't like this company. I'm going to go and look for something else. So that's the advantage of the interview, of the internship. So typical, as I said, you know, companies do presentations, tailored, they do smaller events, they do divisional events, you know, they do case competitions, and then sometimes they require you to do the online test. First round interviews usually happen on campus or via the telephone. As I said, there are so many people to be interviewed. Historically, first round interviews used to take place in the offices, but now it's usually over the telephone. It's typically one or two interviews. It's, you know, mid or senior level bankers. So everywhere you see banker there, just replace it with any other corporate title for anybody in the organization you want to work for. So be it an engineering company, be it for the government. So bankers is just because this is my background that I've used bankers. Typically, the interviews are like 30 to 45 minutes. Please tell people when they're doing a telephone interview, they should make sure it's in a quiet place where there's reception. And they're not, you know, sometimes you're speaking with someone on the phone and it feels like they're actually lying down. And you can tell that they're probably lying down. You need to sit down. You know, the person who is doing the interview needs to sit down like they're sitting face to face. And it needs to be professional, because there are times that when people are speaking, you can actually tell their frame of mind or what position they're in. You don't want to be interviewing someone and have the feeling that they are lying down or they just woke up or they're telling their sister or brother, keep quiet, I'm in an interview. You know, those kind of things are not good, because typically before the interview is scheduled, you'd have been asked what time is convenient and you would have chosen that time. So please do not let anything distract you during the interview. Usually the final round of interviews takes place either at the company or on the campus. Usually it's 1 to 2 interviews as well. Sometimes it involves a case study. The interviews are not longer than 30 to 45 minutes. And as I said earlier, it's just to find out about what kind of person you are. You know, will you work well in a team? 90% of the roles that exist in companies, you will need to work in teams. It's just a few roles, probably sometimes within research or within IT, that you need to work alone in a room. You know, but typically, it's you being able to demonstrate that you can work well within a team. You know, what have you done where you've had a very interesting team member who doesn't listen to your ideas? How have you resolved the issues with those kind of with that kind of person? So those are the kind of things that we recruiters, you know, like to see. You being able to demonstrate that you can survive in a team, because typically you will be working in a team. The offer stage, that's usually easy. It's somebody's making you an offer. At the internship or graduate level, you are unable to negotiate your offer. So whatever they want to pay you is what they want to pay you. You're not going to be able to ask for a pay rise at that stage. But I put that there because sometimes people end up with 3 or 4 different offers, right? Sorry, I should have said something at the start. Before you submit any application, you need to pray. You need to pray, because if there are 10,000 people who are applying for 100, 150 roles, the recruiter has 1 minute to look at your CV. Pray that that 1 minute they're going to spend on your CV is a good 1 minute. It's not a 1 minute they're looking at it and somebody, one of their colleagues is distracting them and they think they've looked at it and they just reject, you know. So prayer is extremely important. Every single stage, you know, because the devil has ways of just making things happen. Oh, they don't take lights in London. Maybe it's the day of your interview. You want to iron your shirt. That's when all of a sudden the transformer on your street goes off. And then you're going to wear a rumpled shirt to an interview. And you will look odd, because they usually light in London. You know? So you just need to pray at every single stage that the Lord should direct your steps. all the traps that the enemy has put in front of you, he should take away. So as going back to the offer, very important. If you have 2, 3, 4 offers, you need to pray to God. You need to look at all the companies again and just ask God for direction on which one to choose, which one is most appropriate, which one will help you. Where would you be able to talk about him without being prejudiced? You know, because a lot of companies now, believe me, we all want to be open, but our God tells us to tolerate other people, but not necessarily accept what they believe in, which is very, very important. Young people, do not let them tell you otherwise. You know, we can, yes, we can tolerate them. They believe whatever they believe in, but we believe that our God is the one true God. So you want to also work in a company where you can stand up for your beliefs. Can we go to the next slide, please? Very, very important. Sorry, this slide is just illustrative of what happens in my company, but it's also reflective of what happens in a lot of other companies. So for somebody who is graduating in 2016, that is next year, interviews are already taking place now. The applications, from what I was told, will close at the end of November. However, remember what I said previously? About 70% of the slots are already gone to the people who interned last summer. So you're only fighting for the remaining 30% of the slots. So you need to get your application in as quickly as possible. And if there's still spaces, then interviews would happen. But even more important is those who are graduating in 2017. So those people are expected to do an internship next year. And so if you do an internship next year, then there will be no interview required. Assuming you do well during the internship, you will not be required to do an interview to have a full-time job. Do you know how good it feels for you to be in your final year of university knowing that you've already secured a job waiting for you at the end? So that's why internships are very important. And then in the last few years, companies have also introduced what they call a spring program. So that's for first-year students, right? So typically, people who got into year one last month will be playing away. No, that's no longer the case. You should not be playing away in year one. In year one, you should be applying to get on a spring program for next year. Because the minute you get onto that spring program, it sets a fantastic background for you. You do well on the spring program, you will do only one interview to get onto an internship. So if you apply for the spring program now, you get onto the spring program for 2016, you do just one interview to get into the internship for 2017. So you do the internship in 2017, and then you do well on the internship, you have a job as you're graduating in 2018. It is fantastic. So please tell your words, get into year one. It's not even about playing anymore. It's about thinking about the future. How do I get a job after my 3-year course? By the way, the spring program is also for second year students who are doing a 4-year course. So it's for first year students who are doing a 3-year course or second year students who are doing a 4-year course. So it is very, very important. There's a program I haven't put there. It's called the Industrial Placement. Some people's courses require them to do either a 6-month placement or a 1-year placement. That also exists in a lot of companies, but it's similar process. It's just an extended internship. If you do well on the industrial placement, you will get a job at the end of the placement. So it's very, very important for students now to know that the job market is extremely competitive. Extremely. To get ahead, you need to start early. You need to pray to God to guide you. By the way, something I haven't mentioned is particular courses. The course you do does not matter. The course you do, other than if you're going into a very technical IT role, the course you do does not matter. The important thing is for you to graduate with a very good grade. So these days, people are talking about graduating with a minimum of a 2-1. When I started graduate recruitment, with a 2-2, you could still get into most companies. But even with a 2-1, we're still getting 10,000 people applying who have met that criteria. So people need to make sure that they get at least a 2-1. If you have a 2-2, all hope is not lost. What people with 2-2s do now is you then go to a good university and do a master's. So all of a sudden, you're cleaning up your 2-2 or your third class. Yes, that's, you have to clean it up. If not, it becomes even more difficult. Even though you're intelligent, you're smart, the fact that the minute you're filling the online application form and you put a 2-2 or a third class, it throws you out immediately. You cannot go further. So you need to go and clean up that 2-2 or third class. One step back, universities as well. As I said, companies go to universities, but they don't go to all universities. They only go to the top universities, which means when you are doing your GCSEs, you need to get top grades in order to then do your A-levels and get top grades in order to get into the top universities. Very, very important. Very, very. I'm not going to mention any group of universities, but you can Google it. There are some universities that companies are climbing over themselves to go and recruit students from. Similar to what I said previously, if you feel that you haven't gone to a top university, you then need to try and go to a top university to do your master's, to clean up that degree. So there's always hope, but if we start early, so by GCSEs, we know what we're supposed to do, then we know that we don't need to then look for ways to clean up stuff. GCSEs, fantastic grades. A-levels, fantastic grades. Get into a good university. The employers will come to look for you. You don't have to go and look for them. If you don't go to a top university, you have to go and look for them. But if you go to a top university, they will be the ones looking for you. In fact, some companies these days partner with departments within schools and say, give us the names of your top 10 students because we want to offer them places. And that's why it's important to go to a very, very good university. I think I have one more slide that just talks about internship. Oh, yeah. So I said internships. For me, this is the easiest way to get employment, to try and get an internship in the penultimate year of university. And so it's typically 8 to 12 weeks. And it's just an opportunity, as I said, for the company to try you out. Because also, sometimes people go for interviews and they say all the right things, and then you put them on the desk and they can't do anything. But this 8 to 12 weeks gives you an opportunity to test the company. It also gives the company an opportunity to test you. And if there's a match there, you're given a job once you're done with your internship. And so you graduate knowing that you don't have to start doing interviews again. While all your friends are rushing about doing applications and interviews, you are already there with your job in hand. All you have to do is ensure that you make your predicted grade. That's all I have to say in this very, very short. I've tried to condense quite a few things together, and I'm sure a lot of people will have questions, but I'm here at your disposal. Thank you very much for having me.